Fiat. November 26, 1938. The disposition calls for the divine work. The divine will places the divine motion in one who lives in it. How the creature can give everything to her creator. Enchantment for the pupils of the divine eyes. The blessed and the pilgrim soul. I'm under the eternal waves of the divine volition, which wants to give itself constantly to the creature. But it wants for her to want it too. It does not want to be an intruder who is there inside of her without her knowing it at all. It wants to be sought for. It wants to give her its kiss of love and then, triumphant and loaded with gifts, enter into her and fill her with its gifts. But while I was thinking of this, my sweet Jesus, who feels the need to entrust these secrets to his creature, told me, "My blessed daughter, my will wants to give, but it wants to find the disposition of the creature in order to deposit its gifts. Disposition is like the soil in the hand of the farmer. As many seeds as he may have, if he did not possess the soil in which to cast his seeds, he would never be able to sow. And if the earth had reason and were not disposed to receiving his seeds, the poor farmer would feel as if those seeds with which he wanted to enrich the earth were thrown back in his face and in his eyes. The same with my will. It wants to give. But if it does not find the soul disposed, it cannot find the place where to put its gifts. It would feel them being thrown back in its face, to its great sorrow. And if it wanted to speak to her, it would find her deaf. Therefore, disposition prepares the soul, opens the divine doors, gives her ears, and she puts herself in communication. The soul first hears what my will wants to give her, in such a way that she loves and yearns for what she is to receive. If she is not disposed, we can give nothing, because we don't want to expose our gifts to uselessness. On the other hand, disposition is like the earth for the farmer, which surrenders to anything he wants to do. It lets itself be worked, hoed, plowed, to secure the seed with which he wants to fill it. The same with our Supreme Being. If we find a disposition, we do our work. We prepare the soul. We purify her. With our creative hands, we prepare the place in which to put our gifts and form our most beautiful works. But if she's not disposed, with all our power, we can do nothing, because her interior is cluttered with stones, with thorns, with vile passions. And since she is not disposed, she does not allow us to take them out. How many sanctities go up in smoke due to lack of disposition? More so since, if she is not disposed, she does not adapt herself to living in our divine will. On the contrary, it seems that it is not for her. Its sanctity knocks her down. Its purity makes her feel ashamed. Its light blinds her. But if she's disposed, she flings herself into its arms, and she lets us do with her whatever we want. Even more, she remains there like a tiny little child, receiving our works with such love that we feel enraptured. And what does our will do? It makes its divine motion flow in her. With this divine motion, she finds all our works in act. She kisses them. She embraces them and invests them with her little love. She finds my conception and my birth in act, and with her love, she wants to be conceived and reborn with me. And not only do I let her do this, but I feel such contentment that I feel requited for being born upon earth, because I find one who is reborn together with me. But she goes even beyond. The divine motion that she possesses makes her run everywhere, and she finds, like a fierce army, everything that my humanity did, my tears, my words and prayers, my steps, my pains. And she takes everything, she kisses, she adores. There's nothing I did which she does not invest with her love. And then, what does she do? She makes everything her own. And with a childlike manner and grace, she gathers everything onto her lap. She rises up high, comes before our divinity, places everything around us. And with emphasis of love, she says, "Adorable Majesty, how many beautiful works I am bringing you. All are mine, and I bring them all to you, so that all of them may love you, adore you, glorify you, and requite you for the great love you have for me and for all." This divine motion, which our will places in the creature who lives in it, is the new life that she receives. With this motion, she has right over all. What is ours is hers. Therefore, she can give us everything. Oh, how many surprises she gives us. She has always something to give us. With this divine motion, she has the ability to run everywhere, and now she brings us the creation to love us, just as we loved her in all created things. Now she brings us all creatures to love us for all and with all. Now she brings us everything I did while on earth to tell us, "I love you as you loved yourselves." She never stops. It seems she cannot be without giving us new surprises of love. She wants to be able to say, "I love him. I love him always." And we call her our joy, our perennial happiness, because there is no greater joy for us than the continuous love of the creature. In fact, you must know that one act done in our will is more than the rising sun, which invests with its light the entire earth, the sea, and the springs. Not even the tiniest blade of grass is put aside. Everything is invested with light. Just so, an act done in my will runs, searches, invests everything. It forms its most refulgent silvery mantle inside and outside the creatures, and brings them pearled in this way before our adorable Majesty, making our own will pray to us for all, with a voice of light and of speaking love, and forming a sweet enchantment for the pupils of our divine eyes. She shows us all creatures enveloped with our divine light, and we ourselves exalt the power of our fiat, which can hide the human miseries with the power of its light, turning them even into light. Nothing can be denied to an act in our will, because it has the power to give us everything and compensate for all. On hearing this, I thought to myself, if a pilgrim soul who lives in the divine will can do so much with one single act, how much more must the blessed do in heaven, since they have perennial life in it? And my sweet Jesus added, "My daughter, there is a great difference between the blessed and the pilgrim soul. The blessed have nothing to add. Their life, their acts, their will has been fixed in God. And they can say, 'We have completed our day.' It is not given to them to do anything more. At the most, we ourselves can give new joys and new love. On the other hand, for the pilgrim soul, her day is not finished yet, and she wants to and lives in our will. She can make prodigies of grace and light for the whole world and prodigies of love for her Creator. Therefore, all our attention is on the pilgrim soul because our work is still in process. It is not finished. And if she is disposed, we can do works never done before, works so beautiful as to astonish heaven and earth. This is why our sorrow is great when we find the pilgrim soul not disposed to letting us perform our most beautiful works that we want to do. How many of our works started and not finished? Others broken at the height of it all. Because only in our will and for those who live in it can we accomplish our works with an unreachable beauty. Because our will administers to us the adaptable materials to do whatever we want. Outside of it, we cannot find sufficient light, nor arising love, nor divine materials. We are forced to fold our arms, unable to move forward. But how many do not live in our will? Moreover, for the pilgrim's soul, there is the coin of merit that circulates, and in all her acts, animated by our will, our divine image is coined, which contains an infinite value. So, whenever she wants, she has the money to pay us for anything she wants. Therefore, our work and interest is for the souls who are still pilgrims on the way, because this is the time for conquests, while in heaven there are no gains, but only joy and happiness.